听力课堂，听 class.com。
Step by step, book three, lesson 96, part one, warming up exercises, spot dictation, talking about a composition course. You are going to listen to a passage.Some words on the printed passage have been taken out. Listen carefully. Fill in the blanks with the words you hear on the tape.
If you've been on campus for very long, I'm certain that you've already heard about this course. You may know that last semester, about 50% of the students enrolled in my course failed it. Let me explain how this came about before you jump to any conclusions. In the first place,Since this is a composition class, I expect my students to follow certain rules of formality. Unfortunately, students today dislike having to follow rules of any kind, especially those which they may feel to be unnecessary. For example, I ask that each of your papers be typed and centered on the paper correctly. I count off points for various kinds of mistakes. A misspelled word will cost you 5 points.You've lost 25 points if you've misspelled 5 words. If you write an incomplete sentence, you've lost 10 points. If you give me 2 complete sentences as one without adequate punctuation, you've lost 15 points. I do not accept late papers. You will receive a 0 for any theme which you fail to submit on time. I expect you to read each assignment.To make certain that you have read the assignment, I will give you a short, unannounced quiz from time to time. This class meets on Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays. You will have a total of 6 major tests throughout the semester. Your final grade will be based on an average of these major tests, the pop tests, and 8 written themes. If you have any questions at any time,You can see me on Tuesdays. My office is on the 2nd floor of this building. Your assignment for Wednesday is to read Hemingway's short story on page 55. Friday will be the last class day of this week, so you can expect to write a short in-class theme for me then. That's all for today. I'll see you on Wednesday.
Part 2. Teaching practice.
Oh, good morning. Miss Gale and Miss Rowe, isn't it?
That's right. I believe you were expecting us. We're from Perivale College of Education.
Well, welcome to Parkdale Infants.
Can you spare a moment, Mr. Bidwell? It's Mrs. Cochran. She wants to see you about Terry's medical.
Oh, tell her to hang on a moment, Mrs. Padley. I just want to get these 2 young ladies settled. I'll be with her in a few minutes.
All right. I'll ask her to wait. I'd like you to sign a few letters after that so that I can pop them down to the post.
Right, I'll do that. Thank you, Mrs. Padley. Now, where was I? Ah, yes, Parkdale.I'm sure you'll find us a very happy school.
We've heard such a lot about you at college. Some of your work sounds most exciting.
Yes, I suppose it is, but it's hard to see it as exciting when you're actually working with the children.
You seem to have lots of new ideas, especially about the teaching of mathematics.
We're lucky to have a new building, and of course we have a very good staff. That's probably the most important thing, the creative spirit in the school.
Miss Carter said that you've already
Well, I think we'd better get down to business, don't you?I have your timetables. Here they are.
Thank you, Mr. Bidwell.
What I've done is to put you with 2 of our most experienced teachers. They really know the ropes. I want you to observe them closely. See how they do it.
Certainly.
These observation periods will be of great value to you.
When will we be able to start actually teaching?
All in good time. There's no hurry. I think you should get the feel of a classroom first. There'll be an opportunity to take 1 or 2 classes today, under supervision, of course.
Will we be able to see different age groups?
Oh, yes, most certainly. But for the first couple of days, I want you to work closely with Miss Lee and Mrs. Bennett, the class teachers.
Yes, I see.
We have our little problems, minor little ups and downs, like everyone else, you know. But we soon sort things out. Now I'll take you to your classrooms. Off to you, Miss Gale.
Thank you, Mr. Bidwell.
How did you get on, Steve?
Very well indeed. I had this marvelous idea about drama.
What were you doing?
It was a history lesson, actually.
History?
Yes, that's right. I had the class on my own because the class teacher had to go to a meeting. I was doing something about Roman Britain.
Roman Britain? Well, where did the drama come in?
Well, we talked about Caesar's invasions of Britain, and I thought we'd act the assassination. Marvelous idea. The whole class were Roman senators, and I was Caesar. Action, everything. It was all right until one of the kids produced a real knife. Oh, yes, Philip.
Late again?
I had to stay and wash my trousers.
You had to wash your what?
Trousers. They were covered in powder paint.
Well, come on, Philip. Tell us what's been happening to you.
An art class.
So?
And I told them to paint me. And one of them did. All over. And then the headmaster came in.
Oh, I bet he was furious.
No, on the contrary. He wasn't angry at all. He said, "Congratulations, Mr. Webster. We've had such a lot of trouble with that child. No one's been able to do a thing with him. This is the first time he's done anything."
Exercise 1. Read the two columns in the exercise and draw lines to indicate who's who. Exercise 2. Decide whether the statements you hear on the tape are true or false, according to the headmaster's opinions. When you're actually working with the children, you'll easily find the work most exciting. They are lucky to have a new building, and that's the most important thing. Students from the College for Teaching Practice should first of all teach some classes on their own. Parkdale, like everyone else, is not free from problems. Exercise 3. Summarize the second half of the conversation by using the notes provided in the exercises. Part 3. Mr. Harris comes to see the headmaster.
Mr. Harris has come to see the headmaster of his son's school to ask his advice about his son's further education.
Good morning, Mr. Harris. Do sit down. I understand you'd like to have a word with me about William.
Yes, that's right, headmaster. I felt I should see you as soon as possible before William does anything he'll regret.
Regret, Mr. Harris?
Well, you see, he set his heart on becoming an artist. My wife and I think he ought to take up something more secure. I mean, even if he went to art school, there'd be no guarantee he could get a good job afterwards.
He could probably teach, Mr. Harris.
He wouldn't like that. He says he wouldn't be a teacher if it were the last job on earth. Oh, I beg your pardon, Headmaster, I didn't mean...
Not at all, Mr. Harris. I wouldn't have been a teacher myself if I'd had my way. I'd have been an actor if my parents had let me... So I have some sympathy with William's problems. Now, let's see. If he wants to be an artist, he'll have to decide what sort of artist he wants to be.
I don't quite follow you, Headmaster.
Well, what I mean is, if he wanted to be a commercial artist, graphics, cartoons, that sort of thing, he might do very well if he took an art course at a technical college. And besides, the entry qualifications wouldn't be so stiff. On the other hand, if he wants to go to one of the major art schools, you better not raise his hopes too high. There's a good deal of competition to get accepted, and he'd have to have at least 3 O-levels and 2 A's at good grades before he'd even be considered. Oh, and there's another thing. He'd have to do a year's foundation course first, probably at another college. He'd get a grant, of course, provided he'd got the right O's and A's.
But art, headmaster, it's so chancy. I wish he weren't so set on it.
I don't think you should stand in his way, Mr. Harris. If I were you, I'd let him decide for himself. You'd better accept the fact that nowadays young people don't worry about security the way we did when we were young.
Well, I must admit, my wife and I would have felt much happier if he'd chosen to do something else. Perhaps it's still not too late for him to change his mind. You know, I could get him a good job with my own firm if he had a science degree.
From what I know of him, Mr. Harris, I don't think he's the sort of boy to change his mind. Not in a hurry, at any rate. In any case, I think you ought to let him decide.
But an artist headmaster, what's he going to live on?
Making a career as an artist isn't easy, of course. It would be a good idea if you had a talk with our art master, Mr. Sims. He can tell you more about the possibilities than I can. Now, I know he thinks very highly of William's work, though you better not tell William I said so.
I suppose I shouldn't worry so much, headmaster. But I can't say I like the idea. Painting pictures and that, it doesn't seem like real work to me.
On second thoughts, I think the best thing would be for me to have a word with Mr. Sims first and find out what he thinks of William's chances of being accepted at art school. It's a very liberal training, you know, not just painting pictures.
No, of course not. Thank you very much for your advice, headmaster. I'd be grateful if you'd let me know what Mr. Sims says.
I'll do that, Mr. Harris. And in the meantime, don't worry about William. He'll be all right, so long as he does as well as he's doing at present.
Exercises. Make notes for the dialogue while you listen. Then, complete the memorandum by using your notes.